Welcome back to Radio Entrepreneurs. My name is Alex Cooper, and we're broadcasting live today from the offices of MTP Software. And our guest in the studio is Brett Cassavant. He's the founder of Technique, and Technique is kind of a kindred spirit to our hearts. It's a podcast talking about culture and business. So tell us more about that, Brett.
Thanks for having me on, Alex. It's an exciting thing to talk about, and Technique is, for the high level, it's really it's an educational platform that is kind of focused on the software world in Boston. My co-founder and I, we are technical recruiters by trade. We work for a small technical recruiting staffing firm. Work with a lot of software companies in the Boston area and have made a lot of good connections and helped them, staff up, some engineering teams. And one of the things that was really drew us, my co-founder and I, to start this podcast was the word culture and just the meaning of culture and what it means to other people. And it seemed to be a very loosely defined topic, but everyone had their own spin to it. And any company wants engineers to fit their culture. Mm-hmm. And every person looking for a job wants to find a culture that they can fit into, that they can be proud of, that they can be successful in. But it's all subjective. So mm-hmm. We started, like I said, about 8 months ago, and really wanted to talk with people that have been in the industry, in the Boston tech world, that have experience building high-performing teams and great cultures that people want to go to work at, and also talking with engineers that are looking for jobs or maybe just found a job and find out what they were looking for in a culture, what their kind of process of vetting out different cultures is, and get as much information out there to people that are in the same struggle, hiring or looking for a job, and giving them kind of tips and helpful kind of learning opportunities to kind of help their own path in their journey.
Culture is a very tricky subject because it's delicate.
It's definitely delicate. It's exciting because it's, like I said, it is subjective. Everyone has their own definition, their own spin to what a successful or what a great culture is. Mm-hmm. One culture is at one company is vastly different from another. And it started becoming much more of a topic in the last probably 5 years or so. Just in the software world, it's, after the Google and the Facebooks, they put their company culture out front and center. Mm-hmm. And it started getting more ingrained with every company wanting to put their culture out first and find people that are really attracted to it. But it's a life force. It's not mm-hmm. something you can put on a wall. It's not something you can write down on a piece of paper. It's how people act, mm-hmm. and it's something that you can't put metrics behind. And people talk about culture, but they don't dive deeper. They don't go that layer deeper. And we want people to really go beneath the.
They can put metrics on it, but they try, don't they?
They try to. Everyone tries to, but right. it's hard to really dive down deeper into that. Mm-hmm. aside from the free lunches and the ping pong tables and the all the perks. Mm-hmm. That's not culture. It's the environment that you're in that really allows employees to grow, to really be successful, and to help the company grow. And that's something that we love just talking about, and it's been a really fun journey.
Yeah, have you noticed any pushback on those kind of ping pong table, pool table cultures? That I've been hearing that there's kind of a pushback in that in some companies of that changing.
I guess yes and no. The pushback would probably come if that's the only focus, mm-hmm. right? If that's up front when if you're going to interview at a company and you ask what their culture is and they're like, look, walk around the office, we got this ping pong table, we got this new coffee machine, we got your beer on Thursdays and Fridays, everything. It's kind of just face level stuff. Mm-hmm. Where we really don't get much pushback, I guess, so because people want to show more than that. Mm-hmm. every company is deeper than that level. If someone just tells me that their culture is based on having fun and playing ping pong and foosball, there might be something you want to investigate and peek under the hood a little bit more, right? And don't just base your decision on that. Yeah.
What are some of the other common things that you've noticed that makes culture work in companies versus things that don't work in other companies?
A lot of the common themes, like I said, culture itself is so loosely defined. Like mm-hmm. I said, it's subjective, but the common themes that we really come across a lot of times is it comes down to a lot of basic values. And they can be anything like from trust to innovation or the ability for employees to grow professionally, and not just be siloed and be stuck and stay stagnant. A lot of it comes down to transparency and communication. And a lot of these things are just, they're so simple to say, but mm-hmm. it's very hard to put you know, put those into working motion and to make things that successful. Because those are the things that really kind of have that, there's a breakdown in those values that really force people to look for a new job or to leave a culture, and where it can have companies struggle that are successful companies and find themselves in a tough spot.
Absolutely. Yeah. So have you run into any companies that are practicing radical transparency yet? Have you heard of that?
So yes. And you know, there are companies, I mean, radical transparency, I wouldn't advise it for a lot of people, but you know, you find it more so of just, you know, everyone being, I mean, aside from giving out information like salary information, mm-hmm. of, you know, between people, but, you know, given the earnings numbers, giving, you know, company revenue, you know, goals, being transparent on that, that's something that a lot of successful companies do. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's not used as a tool to be like, all right, we were down last quarter. Everyone's gonna get fired next quarter if we don't bring it up. It's more so just, this is where we're at. These are the problems we had last quarter, where we find ourselves today. You know, how do we fix this? And that transparency gives everyone a little bit more easier feeling, and not feel like, all right, I know something's going on. They won't tell me what's going on. I'm not going to be here when the ship goes down. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. That makes sense. Yeah. I think I saw Ray Dalio's presentation at South by Southwest, and he's talking about radical transparency that he practices at his company. And he's like, they videotape every interaction.
Right. Yeah.
So it's like, oh boy.
That's an easy way to be transparent.
I'm not sure that's a great way to be transparent, but.
Yeah, if it works, it works. That's the thing. One thing works for one company, another thing won't work for another company. It really, there's a lot of different things, right? And mm-hmm. that radical transparency can work in, if you apply it the right way and, you know, have the communication down of why you're doing it, why you're being so transparent. Mm-hmm. But it also, you know, you can't have one without the other on some level, you know?
Yeah. So I see the benefit from, you know, talking about it from the employer's point of view, but you also do work with talking about people as potential employees for companies. So how is that different, and what do you see in any trends on that side of the ledger?
It's, again, it probably started like probably 5 or so years ago, where it came more, whenever we as technical recruiters talk to candidates, you know, the first thing we ask is, what are you looking for in your next role? Because we want to find a successful environment or successful job for them. Mm-hmm. And when they tell me, okay, I want a good environment with good culture. So what does that mean to you? It's every single candidate we've talked to now talks about finding some place that has a great culture. And there's a disconnect between hiring managers and candidates sometimes. When an engineer or when anyone's looking for a job and they want to find a good culture, they need to figure out what's important to them. And that's the same thing, not give face value answers. So it's important. We talk to a lot of engineers either in their current job search, just found a job, and get tips of, you know, finding out what's really important to you so other engineers can hear. You know, maybe I can look in the mirror and kind of do some introspective looking. Mm-hmm. And one of our guests, he said his biggest tip for someone would be to find your North Star. And mm-hmm. I thought that was just, it was an amazing analogy that he gave. But just know what's your, as you're looking for a job, what's your guiding principles, what you really want and passionate about. And don't lose sight of that, because those are things that you're going to constantly search for if you just put it to the side.
And then coming back to the employer side, what have you seen in hiring managers and their practices, and anything changing in that and their attitudes towards culture?
There's definitely been a lot of change in our experience. And I think because culture has been such a topic as of late, especially in the last couple of years, that everyone's putting a lot more emphasis on it. And people are yearning for, you know, that playbook or that recipe, you know, to make a perfect culture. But it's hiring managers are doing a lot more of a diligent job of exploring what their team makeup is, what their processes are that attribute to culture. And that then it's hard for them to put that out front and make that shine through, especially when interviewing people, because it's tough to talk about sometimes when you don't really have a clear definition of what your team's culture is. Mm-hmm. So I think that we've definitely seen a lot of that, especially the hiring managers we talk to. It gives them good perspective to go back and kind of really investigate what they have to offer people. Because that's the thing, you want to offer people a great opportunity and people that are going to stay there and last there, and you want to hire people that will grow with you, not just fill a gap for now. So hiring managers are really paying a lot of attention to it, which is great to see. And it makes it more humanized and not just people feel like they're just a paycheck.
Yeah. Is there a typical company size that you've been engaged with? You know, they big companies, middle-sized companies.
Yeah, so we typically focus, I guess, in our recruiting world, it's kind of more the small to mid-sized companies. Mm-hmm. But we also work with large enterprise companies, you know, the tens of thousands of employees. You know, there's definitely a wide range. We probably have talked to a lot of people more focused on the smaller side. It's always interesting to find people, you know, that are at those large enterprise companies that have this mentality, because there's a lot of layers of management in big mm-hmm. companies, and there's a lot of kind of red tape. And it's the ones that in those companies that have that culture first mentality that are the most successful, and mm-hmm. the companies that it just shine. And those are the best people that we've talked mm-hmm. to so far. Yeah.
Yeah, it's those big companies. It's like one person doesn't make that much difference in the culture, but if a small company, one person can change the whole thing.
Right, and that's a struggle that, you know, it's not just solely, you know, attributed to large companies. Mm-hmm. You know, that can be a problem in small companies too. You know, going from a 20-person company where you're flat structure, you know, from a managerial mm-hmm. standpoint, but also you got a 10,000-person company, but you have an engineering team of 10 people, you know, you can, there's subcultures within a big company that you can create, as long as they're, you know, you're still mission driven and going towards this one goal is from a company standpoint and hitting your deliverables and objectives. But it's awesome to hear those stories of the big companies with those success stories of great cultures that people want to work with. And it's changing the way things are done. We really feel like that's something that we've keyed up on and really love to talk about too.
That's terrific. So if people want to find out more about your podcast and your programs, how can they find you?
Absolutely. So our website is www.technique.io. And our podcasts, we release one every week, and you can find them on iTunes, another Technique podcast, or SoundCloud, anywhere available to listen to podcasts, mm-hmm. we'll be there.
Excellent. Thank you for coming in.
Yeah. Thanks for having me. It was a blast. Thanks.
This is Radio Entrepreneurs. We'll be right back after these messages.